Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
than Moses. I showed him my way. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Will you learn my way?
Savior God.
Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow with humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
Just wanted to say one thing real quick, and then you guys can play again. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. And I say that to you because people think of sin as, oh, I went after this woman, or I looked at some dirty pictures, or I drank, or I did whatever. Anything that is not of faith is sin. For the just shall live by faith. Right? That means every aspect of your life, you need to learn to live every element of your life by faith and love. Every aspect. And I want you to understand, it's actually not that difficult. Sounds difficult. Seems difficult because we seem to not do it very often, right? But I'll just give you a couple of examples. Phil and I were chatting this morning, and he was telling me about a situation at work. He's got this situation at work. He's got this guy who's pretty good employed, except when things aren't going well at home. And when things aren't going well at home, it's pretty obvious that things aren't going well at home, and he's a screw-up as an employee then. And Phil's looking at this, and he's, you know, the guy doesn't look at Phil as his minister. The guy looks at Phil as his boss. Because that's what Phil is. He's his boss. He's not his minister. But Phil always is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Phil always is. This is what all Christians are. Phil always is one who is supposed to bring the kingdom of God to bear in every situation. But you only bring the kingdom of God to bear in a situation if you walk by faith in love. So the love part was, Phil's looking at the guy going, oh man, how do I help this guy out? I mean, what do I do? I mean, we got tires to change. We got things to do. We got inventory to do. How do I help this guy out? I can't like go, let's go have a cup of coffee and talk about Jesus now. Let's go have some church. He can't do all of that. So what Phil does is he just lifts up and he goes, Lord, I don't know what to do. How do I help this guy? Next thing that comes to mind is, you know what was his name again? It was Alexander. Alexander, look. Go get yourself a hot dog. Well, I'll take the clipboard. No, give me that clipboard. No, I'll take the clipboard. No, give me that clipboard. No, I'll take the clipboard. I'm going to spank you with that clipboard if you don't give it to me. Okay. The guy went and ate his hot dog. You know what happened? He came back free of the troubles at home. And he served. See, faith in love. Phil cared about the guy and didn't know how to help him. So he goes and says, I need further instruction. He goes up for further instruction. Next thing that comes to mind is the solution. Doesn't seem particularly spiritual, does it? But no, shouldn't I tell him about Jesus? Shouldn't I this? Shouldn't I that? See, what happens is when you take that step back and you simply minister to the need of the individual in the situation that you are in. Phil was a boss and this was an employee. It brings the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God to bear on that situation. And the sword of the Lord fell and separated that man from those things that were troubling him and enabled him to go forward. And what happens is when your life is like that, when every aspect of your life, I don't know what to do with these children. I have no idea. I'm like so beyond myself with what to do with these children. I know that never happens to any of the parents here. For some of those who are outside listening, maybe they know what this is like. I'm sure Edmund's mom's never had the experience of, what do I do with these children? Or with these grandchildren? But the thing is faith in love, which is going to him and then step in because of your love for them, brings to bear the kingdom of God. And then what happens is, when people get accustomed to that being what your life is about, and they get accustomed to partaking of that fruit of the Spirit, which is love, that's when then they come to you and want to know what the answer is. They want to know how it is that this grace is with you. And then it's your opportunity to share with them the love of God through the gospel. But you have to get the first part done first. Because what's the scripture say? No man cometh unto me, but the Father draw him. So you can go out and, you know, speak and stuff like that. Have the signs like are everywhere here. Jesus saves, it says, everywhere in South Carolina. You drive down, there's signs everywhere, right? Jesus saves. Everybody knows Jesus saves. How? How does Jesus save? That's what the people out here don't know. They're alienated from that. They know Jesus saves. But the reason is because they haven't learned how to walk by faith and love. And the church has not been walking by faith and love. So they put the sign up out on their lawn saying Jesus saves. But then they go about their life without walking by faith and love. So the sign is just a bewildering thing to people who go by. It's almost an offense. You know, you ever been offended by that stuff? You know, Jesus is the answer, or Jesus saves, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I know I used to be like, oh man, it's a bunch of foolishness and stupidity. It's the truth, as it turns out, but not because of the people who had the signs. You are an ambassador for Christ. Every single one of us, not by our own goodness, but by His grace. Was it in that thing you read, that passage you read, was there any part in there about us? Any part in there about how great thou art? You guys sang a song about how great who is? The Lord, not us. So you get offended at the fact that it's by grace. But what's the gospel? Grace. So what's the offense? I'm not very important. Pride, as Brad says. Don't worry about that. Stand in the grace. Be a minister of the grace. Stand by faith and love. And you will minister. Every single one of you will minister if you'll just do those two things. Amen? You guys can play a song.
Day into night, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger, a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger, a hunger in
You can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me.
Everybody.
Good morning.
I know that Steve was kind of sharing that thing that I told Alexander. It wasn't, I would say, quite accurate, all the words, but that's exactly what happened that went down. But I do want to, it's an interesting thing, the point where it says, what is not of faith is sin. What is not of faith is sin. And I could see very easily, just, you know, just kind of going through earlier in my week and kind of going about and have after having 4 days off and going into work and seeing a mess. I mean, just really seeing a mess. And it was a mess that I do have to say that I was not happy about. I was quite livid. And it was just like a build up. It's like, okay, we can deal with that. Okay, we can deal with that. All right, we can deal with that. Oh, I'm starting to get mad. I am starting to get pissed now at this point. This can't be possible. This thing's got this screwed up this bad. But it was interesting in that because in that time and in that situation was a very and a lot of the very overwhelming situations it was for me, and it seemed like I worked very diligently and hard to get some things in order that I thought would be in order. And when I come back and in my mind I see that it all was for nothing. I mean, that's how I was looking at it at that time. I mean, I looked at it and said, well, that was absolutely pointless. I mean, here we go. We work diligently communicating with the guys, talking with the guys of how we want this thing ran, how to keep this inventory straight, how to do all these things. And here it goes. Not a lick of it was done correctly. So I was quite frankly teed off. Now, I wasn't right in being teed off in that situation. That's not where I'm going at all. But I grew somewhat faint. I don't know if y'all have ever been there where you're looking at a situation that you've been hitting and hitting and hitting. And you see, you think there's great progress going on. And you come and turn around and it seems like no progress has ever happened. It's like, oh, man. Oh. So I grew faint. And as I grew faint, the thing about it was, is just that point that was pointed out is what is, that Steve pointed out, what is not of faith is sin. Is that I could see very clearly that in that I was allowing something from the outside, what I was looking at with my carnal eyes, all those things, absolutely separate me from the Lord in a bit. Now, the thing Now the thing, as that was going on, see, there was no real incident that I did. It wasn't like I went off and went and smoked a few doobies and drank a ton of beer and all those things that were, it was the sign that was like, okay, I allowed, they, you know, I separated from the Lord and that. No, it was just simply the unbelief that I had and how I was looking at that situation. But as I carried on and as I repented and as I was turning around, even though it was like moving a big ship from one direction all the way around to another direction, it took a while to do just that. I mean, it was fighting and fighting and fighting to actually cast down the unbelief. And the biggest thing that I had to fight against was not fight against the guys at work. Was not fight against the thing on the outside. That was not the thing that I really had to war against. No, what I really needed to war against and really come against and really cast off, what I really needed to do was cast off unbelief in mine own heart. See, it was then when I could go forward in Him. And it's simply by making that choice to believe Him that He's bigger than that. And it was neat because as we went forward, as we got things straightened out, the thing wasn't near as bad as I thought. And things got squared away. By the end of the week, as I was telling Steve that story about with Alexander, and then there was that happened. And it was a praise of the Lord. And of course, I didn't see it in the depth that Steve saw it in by any means. It was just by talking to him this morning that he kind of opened these things up to me when I shared them that story. But there was a few other things that went down that was really awesome in that. But one of the things is I want to go to Hebrews 12. And I'll start at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That cloud of witnesses is all, if you read chapter 11, it shows the men of faith and women of faith that chose to believe God in the midst of situations that were just impossible in the natural. Absolutely impossible in the natural, where they chose to believe God no matter how it looked in front of them. They chose to believe God. And you could see the Lord honoring that trust and faith that they had in Him. Now, the next part in this where it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I tell you, that example, when I was at work, that was an example of the weight and the sin that so what? Easily besets us. I mean, it's like in the moment of time. I mean, you could be like, all right, you know, praise God, this is awesome. Just, you know, I had a great time with Steve these past 4 days, and I'm going to work and all these things, and then boom, 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 boom. Next thing I know, I'm like, all right, where was I at 20 minutes ago? Because now I'm like turned around backwards and pissed off, man. Because you could just let, it's so easy to look at that situation. It's so easy to look at these things and let unbelief just come in and just destroy. But it doesn't mean if you've fallen into that, that you can't turn around and put your eyes back on Him and repent. It doesn't mean that it's over with for the day. It doesn't mean that you cannot stop right there and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for looking at all these things and buying into the unbelief and into my carnal mind. Because the thing that set me off track was not anything somebody else did. No, it was me believing the lie that was before me. Because the Lord's bigger than all that. And even if it was a messed up situation, the situation was turned upside down, if we can just put our eyes on the Lord is bigger than all that. And He can use that, whatever the case is, to minister unto you and to minister unto others because He is awesome. And that's what He does. And He's done it time and time and time again. I don't know of any of us that went to the Lord on a great day and said, you know, man, I am just doing so freaking awesome right now that I think I'm going to go reach out to Lord Jesus Christ and grab salvation now. Because my life, I just got squared away perfectly and I'm just now, last thing I need to do is find Jesus. No, it's usually because we're in a messed up situation and it's turned upside down. And there's no way for us to turn except to Him. And it's when we turn to Him, what we find is that He turns that upside situation, turns that upside down situation and turns it right side up. And He who gets the glory, He does. Who gets magnified, He does. The love of Christ is what? Shown abroad and the gospel magnified. It's an awesome thing. So when I look at that where it says the just shall live by faith, I say, forgive me, Lord, for buying into that garbage where I'm overwhelmed, all is lost, and it looks absolutely hopeless. Because that's not true. Because you're bigger than all that. Amen. You're bigger than all that. Got to open that back up. So this sin, which does so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And that's one of the points I wanted to get to. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Well, one more point. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I mean, when it comes to Jesus striving against sin right there on that... I mean, it is pathetic. I mean, I look at myself and compare myself to Jesus and Him striving against unbelief, and I look at me striving against unbelief, it's absolutely just pathetic. I mean, Jesus went to the point of sweating blood, striving against sin. Not my will be done, Father's, but Yours. Please let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but Yours. And that battle to make that choice to go forward for what the joy that was set before Him, He endured that cross and He strived against it to the sweating of blood. And God the Father saw them all through and He took the sin of the past, present, and future for us right there on that cross. He finished the work. He finished the work. He completed it. He says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, He's won the victory. So the beautiful thing in that is that if He's won the victory and He's done the work and finished it. See, that doesn't rely on me. in the sense of it doesn't rely on me to walk out all that perfectly or on none of those things. No, all I have to do is choose to believe Him and what He has done and what He has completed. But see, in that situation I was talking about where I was growing faint, I was growing weary in my mind in the midst of all those things. If I would just set my eyes, which I did eventually, praise God, set my eyes on Him in the midst of that, see, He is the one that's able. It's not me. It hasn't been by my strength that I've been there at Gerald's. It hasn't been by my spirit that I ministered unto other folks. And it hasn't been by, I would say, my doing of any sort. No, it's been absolutely the grace of God that has done a marvelous there, right there in my workplace, time and time and time again. How could I not just choose to just put that all off? That unbelief and all those things off. And choose to believe Him once again. And that's the choice that we have. That's the choice that I have. See, I can choose to believe what's in front of me. I can choose to believe that overwhelming situation. I can choose to believe all of those things. That's not going to get me anywhere. That's not going to get me anywhere. In fact, if I choose to believe that, this is going to drive me down in a deep, dark hole. Deep, dark hole. But if I choose just to set my eyes on Jesus and what He's fulfilled, what He's accomplished, what He's able to do, then I can step out in faith in that same victory that He has already won for me. And see, that's an opportunity for all of us to be able to do. As a what? Ambassador for Him. Taking hold of that victory. You know, it's interesting as I see, you look at Paul and Silas. I think it was Paul and Silas or Barnabas. No, I think it was Silas. They go to the prison. Here's Paul gets a vision to go to a certain place. They get beat, whipped, thrown in the uttermost part of the prison. They're down there singing and praising the Lord. What happens is the power of the Lord opens up and they minister unto the man that Paul was sent there to minister unto. So if we can just be that good soldier as Timothy tells us to be and not get entangled in the affairs of this life. See, that's where we can go out and be that ambassador that Steve was talking about. And it's simply by choosing and believing Him. I mean, when I went to the Lord, when I was talking about that, I didn't know what to do. In fact, I was looking at this going, oh, crap, man. I don't know what to do. Alexander, what's wrong? Things are going at home, man, but I'm working. All right. Lord, help me, Lord. I really don't know how I can minister unto Alexander, Lord, to get these things so he can get shed of the garbage that's weighing him down. I really don't know what to do, Lord. A few minutes ago, he walks up with the hot dogs. He was going to try to eat on the fly, and I told him, I said, go in the break room and go ahead and go eat. No, Philip, I don't need to, man. I'm going to eat. Go in that break room and sit down and eat. No, Philip, I don't need it. I will take this clipboard and spank your tail like my child if you don't go in there and go and eat. Because we're going to have a good day today. You're going to have a good day today. And I smiled, and he smiled and said, all right. And he went there, ate. He came back out there bringing that energy that he always brings, or most of the time brings. And all I could say was, praise God. See if we can just approach every situation. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Lord, this situation is too big for me. So Lord, just give me what you need me to do and I will go and do it. See, that's making him Lord. That's believing him. That's trusting him. And you go forward and you don't worry about it. Trust that that prayer is going to be answered and you'll get one. And the Lord's so faithful in the time, and I was struggling in the beginning of this week and all those things was, is that not that I've been fighting against that unbelief? Man, I was having a rough time. But what he simply showed out before me for my sake and because he loves me and he's a loving father, what he showed me in the midst of that whole thing is what he showed me was that it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Here. Look. And I went and was able to clean things up. We get squared away and it was an awesome time. Me and Alexander there at 8 o'clock at night at Gerald's Tires and Brakes, cutting up, dancing to his music that he has going on, and we were doing inventory and getting these things straight. And we were excited because we got this thing that was got really screwed up, straightened out. And we had a great time. So the Lord is awesome and we can trust him. And we don't have to listen to that unbelief. That's the number one problem. Is that I know I could confess that take too much heed to that unbelief and that old carnal man that the Lord has freed us from. All right, with that, I'm done.
There we go. Okay. I just wanted to hit real quick on this thing of unbelief because it's so critical. In Hebrews 3:12, and you don't have to go over there, I'll read it for you. It says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." See, what separates us from God is unbelief. That's what separates us. That's what separates you. And what happens is, we don't realize it, but how much, it talks about the deceitfulness of sin. We don't realize how much we justify ourselves against other people. See, part of Phil's frustration there, you don't realize it was, his frustration was the guy screwed up in his absence. Why can't they just do what I said? Right? Isn't that what happened? They screwed up in Phil's absence, and he was pissed. All right, does Phil ever screw up in Christ's absence? I mean, do I ever screw up? Do any of us? Of course, we do all the time. Grace covers a multitude of sins. What's it say? Where sin abound, grace aboundeth more. Now, the evil heart of unbelief, what we don't realize is that when we start justifying ourselves, we are in unbelief. When we start justifying ourselves against other people, when we start justifying ourselves by the things we do or the things we don't do, we have departed from the living God. And that's what pretty much occupies most of our days, isn't it? Isn't that what occupies most of your day? Really, when you get down to it and you think, I mean, none of the things, the problems at work, they're not my problem, they're somebody else's fault. The problems at home, they're not my fault, they're somebody else's fault. Everywhere you go, isn't that how it is? Why are they doing this? Do you ever think of what the Lord's perspective on you is? Why is he doing this? See, the children of Israel, what I read to you out of Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." What he was talking about there is he was talking about the children of Israel who were under Moses. Now, let me ask you, when you look at a guy who walked in the power of God, is there anybody here who thinks that somebody walked more in it than Moses did? Did not Moses, as one man, bring down an empire called Pharaoh in Egypt? Did not Moses as one man deliver 600,000 adult men, all their wives, their children, and their livestock? Did not Moses as one man stand by faith and see the people of Israel fed in a desert place? I've been in that desert place where there is no food or drink. Did not Moses stand in that for 40 years? And did not those people who came out with him never cross over to the other side and receive the promises of God because of unbelief? Think of that for a moment. These were people who saw their feet did not swell. They didn't have to replace their clothes for 40 years. They didn't have to toil in the soil to make their food for 40 years. They didn't have to go and dig a well for water for 40 years. They didn't have to do any of these things for 40 years, and still they would not believe God. And because of it, God swore that they would not enter in. See, where we're at, folks, and where each of us are at is that, look, I can stand up here and stand by faith and minister to you by faith and love. And you can come hang out with me and think Steve's an all right guy. Wish he'd come hang out more. Maybe Phil's the only one who feels that way, but you know, people might feel that way. But the fact of the matter is, it's all worthless unless you take that word and go and do likewise. You're no different than the children of Israel in the desert unless you go and do likewise. See, and you're not going to get there. If you look at the scripture you read, Brad, it talks about grounded and settled in the faith, right? The hope of the gospel. Okay, grounded and settled in the faith and in the hope of the gospel. Well, you know what? Not a single individual here is a big enough screw up. There's not a single individual in this room right now who is a big enough screw-up. And we got some pretty good screw-ups in here. I won't mention names, right, Corey? We don't have any big screw-ups here, do we? Right. The gospel takes every bit of your screw-up away. Every bit of your screw-up. Is any of it held against you, Corey? Is there anything you can't go and do? Is there anything you can't go and confront? Is there any problem you got that is now too tall for the Lord? Absolutely not. Did you believe that a week ago? Right. So it did not matter that a week ago he was in rank unbelief and standing in disobedience with no hope in the world, even though that hope had been presented to him. Even though that hope had been presented to him. All it took was one, well, probably two conversations. Two conversations and things turned around. The little bat I had, yeah. I share this with you because, look, I don't care for any of you how big of a screw-up you've been, how much you have not brought to bear and walked by faith and love. I don't care how much you failed in that. I really don't. Because this moment, from this moment, when you step out of this room, none of that has to burden you. None of it. Absolutely none of it. You can step out of this room today completely free of it all. And that's what it is to be grounded and settled in the faith. And when you screw up next week, you can remember, or later today, you can remember, wait a second, that's why Jesus died for me. I can get up. I can confront that situation that is too, I'm ashamed of. I can go and confront it by faith and love. And you can go forward. This ministry down here, we need, how many do we have? We got, leaving my family aside for a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm looking at 16 folks here, leaving aside those of us who've come from afar. 16 folks. You know what? That's more than Jesus had. 16 folks going forward by faith and love can change the world. Can change the world, folks. You guys can change the world. You can change South Carolina. I don't care how entrenched things are. I don't care how much you think it's impossible. I don't care. Because God is bigger than all of that. He is bigger than all of that. If Kat goes to her workplace and stands by faith and love and ministers to her son and by faith and love, and you, Brad, do it, and Lisa, you do it, and each of you do it here, this place will change. And God will bring people here so that they can be built up and go do the same. But you can't do it except by faith in what He has done and in love. But if you do those, all things are possible. All things are possible.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.